Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold, hosting ACOTA, the Ancient Science of Sahaji. It is December 26, 2015, 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast of America. I welcome everyone to the show this evening. And I have an especially warm welcome for the leader of ACOTA who's with us, and that is Sri Kadavji, the Mahaji, the 973rd Living Sarosha Master. Sri Kadavji, how are you this evening?
I'm fine, Leslie. And how are you this evening?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. It's a pleasure to have you here as always. And for those people who haven't listened to us before, we're going to be talking about not only the fundamentals of this very ancient spiritual teaching, but we're going to talk about some other aspects that are maybe deeper esoteric aspects that you may not have heard of before. With each show is not it's not a rote presentation. This is a live show, and the information we give is pertinent to this teaching and to those people who are searching for spiritual unfoldment in their lives. So with that, might I ask you, Sri Kadavji, if you could just talk a little bit about what this teaching is about for any new people that might be on the show tonight.
Yes, thank you, Leslie, for that introduction. I do appreciate being here. And the way I do it simply is we do that short definition that's in the below the logo, the Sarosha symbol that we use. The short definition is the ancient science of Sahaji. And that's what ACOTA is. It's mainly a science, a path, a way, and a teaching. We use four definitions for it. And the main objective is to find the ready soul that we talk about a lot, which is really the 1% of any population. That means that there are 75 million ready souls in the Earth's region presently that can learn about and understand the path to the liberation point that we call in soul on the fifth plane. That means when we talk about the ancient science of Sahaji, Sahaji means that movement towards that liberation point. In other words, we don't bring the sound current or the God force, whatever you want to call that power we call the Sarosha, the spirit. We don't bring it into us, so to speak. We go out towards it, I'll say. In other words, in one sense of the word, it's a paradox, because you can listen to it. That doesn't mean two doctors down by the bay either. Paradox, right? I had to throw that joke in there.
Very funny.
People that are punsters out there that think in puns like I do. However, having said all that, it is paradoxical in terms of listening to the sound current. So then what do? Well, we ride on that, or spin on it, if you will, towards our center. And the center is the Godhood. And then people will say, well, is God within or without? Well, again, there's another paradox. So there you have it this week, with the discussion of paradoxes. So you're correct in saying each week we bring up something brand new. What I wanted to mention I reviewed last week's show a bit, and we had talked about we have 25 masters on the path, approximately. And in reality, we have closer to 300, because there isn't many of them at the Katsapuri Monastery in northern Tibet, but they're considered what we call superannuated beings in human form. In other words, they're very old. But that's not really the goal of ACOTA. And maybe I'm being a little advanced here in terms of the basics. But I just wanted to mention that in reality, the 20 or 25 masters we have now, they're public in the membership. They are not, I would say, reclusive types in the Katsapuri Monastery. Those people stay there, just like our teachers, Rebazar Tars, Phubi Quanch, and Yabo Sakabi, and a handful of other ones that we talk about sometimes on the show. Those types are known, and sometimes they'll walk into the marketplaces in India coming down from the mountains, and so do the other ones, but they're not really that well known. All right, so that is an advanced discussion. What we want to go here is in the fundamentals of the path is, I had mentioned the ready soul. When we give these presentations out in the public, what we teach about are we have a planes chart where we have the different dimensions that are categorically put into a graphic display. We show a drawing, if you will, of the different planes of existence. And the ones that the main ones we want to point out are what we call the lower worlds. And that means the first four planes would be the physical, astral, causal, and mental planes. Those are the four main planes. Now, the New Agers will argue, well, there's multi-dimensions, and those aren't necessarily true, and blah, 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 and that's okay. But when we graphically show this, it's a time-tested path that has been around for millions of years, but sometimes it's not public. It's sort of like a standard is something that can be repeated. For instance, like classic literature, for better or for worse. Hart was a lonely hunter, too, by the way. Even though I apologize to everybody, that was something I was trying to remember the other day. Is that hilarious or what? Funny, huh?
Okay.
But anyway, the reason why I brought that up is...
Go ahead.
Yeah, is the connection okay? Yes, connection's okay. The reason why I'm saying that, the reason why classics or standards is it's repeated. People read these books many times over, for better or for worse, they still exist. It's kind of like the path exists, okay? And it's time-tested, and they use these planes, these categorizations, to actually negotiate through to spiritual liberation. So that's why we standardize that the physical, astral, causal, and mental planes, because we've mastered these, we've gone through these experiences into spiritual liberation. So having said all that, a mouthful, what we want to point out is that I had alluded to several times just in this previous brief presentation, is the sound current that everyone can hear. Usually if you don't hear it right away, we had a student the other day who said they couldn't hear it, so I recommended to go in a quiet place, and sure enough they did. Within a couple of days they heard the sound current, they were very ecstatic, they were very joyful and very pleased they had this experience. Because having said that, When we hear the sound current, we're actually experiencing and hearing, that's an empirical experience, you're hearing your perpetual self as soul, the I am, and not I have, okay? Not the third person, but the singular first person, the I am. So when you hear that sound current, it's not just all the talk that we do in presentations or seminars and lectures and blah, blah, blah. It's a very important experiential happening for the individual. They'll hear the sound current, and we often point out that the sound current is the light heard. The light is the sound seen. So it's the twin aspects of what we call the Sarosha, the light and the sound. So we are a light and sound path, and the main one, we focus upon the sound current more than even other so-called light and sound paths, which in a sense they're just cosmic consciousness or New Age. We're not a New Age teaching. We're not a cult or an occult science. We are not a philosophy. We're definitely, as I said, not a religion, okay? Because when you categorize yourself with any of those, now you're below the fifth plane of cosmic consciousness teaching. So we do definitely throw that in a grab bag. I admit that. Categorize everything outside of that as cosmic consciousness. Somebody might say that's unfair, but what else are you going to do with it if they can't get to the fifth plane? And they can't, because they don't have the living Sarosha Master of the time, which is myself, in that long unbroken lineage that goes back to the dawn of history and beyond. And we proclaim that because we give that experience. And you've been on this path for a long, long time, decades, and you can attest to that. Many other people can do as well. And it's a great feeling and experience and confidence that one gains in the goals of ACATA. So, Leslie, maybe you'd like to explain the goals, since I briefly touched on it a little bit, but maybe you'd like to go into it in depth, if you will. Thank you.
Sure, I'd be happy to. But, Sri Kadasya, I would like to mention, since you did say that I had been on the path a long time, and I have. I've been on the path for decades. And I do want to relay that once I got on the path, I no longer had questions about who I was and where I was going and what is life all about. Those plaguing questions that one goes through when you're going through a dark night of soul, trying to figure out whatever everything's about. And they plagued me for years until I finally came to this path, and then I knew that this was it. This was it for me, and I didn't have to wonder about those questions because I was being supplied with all the answers and a true balance that I'd never felt before. So with that, I'd like to talk about the goals of ACATA, because we have three goals, and it's self-realization, God-realization, and the last one is spiritual mastery. And the goals are related to our initiations on the path, because we are initiated at each plane, that level that we reach. And we probably should talk about the planes at some point, but I'm just going to cover the initiation levels, which correspond to the soul plane, the eighth plane, and the tenth plane, okay? So the soul plane is the fifth plane. And why this very first important goal is really, really important, this is when we receive our fifth initiation at the soul level, it's because we really have a true recognition of who we are as soul. We understand who we are as soul and how we relate to the entire universe. And it's a complete confidence level. Excuse me, I have to drink some water. I apologize, everyone. But it's a complete confidence level that comes with achieving the fifth initiation. So we know who you are as soul, how we connect up to spirit, how we connect to Akshart, the name that we use, the high Sanskrit name that we use for God on this path. So it's very important because we don't have any doubts. We have a true understanding of ourselves and where we are in connection with the rest of the universe. So that's a very important place, is that fifth initiation. And then the next goal that we want to reach is on the eighth plane, which is also called the Hukkikot Lok. And at this plane, this is where we achieve God realization. So what's happening here is we're understanding our connection more deeply, our connection of being soul and our connection to God, understanding really the true realization of what God is and God's position in the universe. Not saying that we don't have glimpses of this all along the way and glimpses of self-realization before we get there, but it's a finality of that, an ensconce, not a finality, but an ensconcing of those realizations. So it's very, very important. And then what we want is the final goal, which is spiritual mastery, which comes as on the 10th plane. So it's a final goal. We don't stop unfolding here, and I've mentioned this before. It's a continual unfoldment process. No matter where you are in the path, you're still going to unfold more as long as you're letting yourself be a channel for spirit. So with spiritual mastery, excuse me, Sri Kadasi?
No, just go ahead. I was saying,
Okay. So with spiritual mastery, then the enlightenment, of course, is greater, and we have powers that we did not have hitherto for this. So it's very, very important to achieve spiritual mastery, because there are positions that we can take on both the inner and the outer planes, deciding what we want to do. So there are spiritual masters on the inner planes who are working in the temples of golden wisdom. There are spiritual masters on the outer planes that are working in various fields. So all along the path, we're becoming more and more aware of what is available to us and how we can assist, really, in the running of the universe. So, Sakadati, is there anything that you'd like to add to this at this point?
Thank you for that very eloquent explanation. What I would like to add is simply that you were mentioning that after mastery, of course, the beginning individual, the neophyte, can't really even think about that in the present, albeit there's no reason why we can't pass that along. It becomes more of a subtle detachment that you learn, which is effervescent and not a boring state or anything of that nature, like the no thing becomes nothing, so to speak, or a nothing experience. And then the other I wanted to emphasize was the idea of sahaji, this movement in spirit. For instance, we become and we learn about ourselves as soul, that sound current light that I was talking about. When you listen to that sound current, then you become it more, because the habits of being the lower bodies, those lower planes that we talked about, because those are sheaths around the soul, but they become very real to us and tangible. The physical plane is very difficult to extricate themselves from, because if one has a karmic bundle, we say, when they enter this physical life. In other words, they've been through many, many lifetimes. That's the reincarnation factor. So we do believe in karma and reincarnation. So they pick up all this karma that needs to be worked off, and when they step onto the path, then what takes place is the ending of karma. That's the most significant part. When one steps onto the path, the karma ends, and now you're working it off. And it takes about 30 years to complete the working out of the karma. And people say, well, that's a long time. I said, yes, but a million years is a long time, too, of creating it in the first place. However, having said that, the first 2 years gets rid of most of the primal karma. Then you have the daily news karma, if you understand that. In other words, daily karma is worked out once you become a spiritual master. And that means that we're not pitchmen, we're not salesmen here, we're not selling anything, so we're not pushing anything. All we're doing is presenting the path to ready souls freely without any donations, contributions, no monetary contributions, no monetary responsibility. So that should be very important to the people here, because when you sign up for membership and therefore your karma ends at that point, which is really important, but there is no monies involved with that. So we don't have an undertow of people, oh, they're just trying to make money. There's no thought of that if it's free. So I really think that's important, and I know it's greatly appreciated, because we're not just online pitchmen. We have a website, akita.com, that you'll find we have free intro books, and all the books there are free to be downloaded. And that's very important, because people are always wondering, okay, when is he going to drop the shoe and how much is it going to cost me? We don't have that, see. So we just let all that go, and for the ready soul, you pretty much come home, as people have often said about coming to the path. And as you say, you gain all the answers to your questions, and then that confidence is there absolutely. It's an absolute. And I talk to people every day about the fact that they're confident. It's very rare do I hear people say they are. That's fine. When people are in religions and they're happy and whatnot, I beg to differ. They're really not, but that's not my job to say. I mean, people can't be honest about it, but they're not going to be if they're not ready. A non-ready soul will fight to tooth and nail to stay where they are, and so be it. That's fine. I'm not here for everybody. I'm here just for that 1 out of 100, see? So it's very important. The 99 out of 100 are not going to get it, and they're going to fight against it. So it's better just to walk away and not get into confrontational issues and whatnot. Have you ever talked about the weather or some sort of confabulatory nonsense that we do? And in one sense of the word, it's not really nonsense. It's important to be friends with people. That's good. I mean, I have a lot of friends who are not on the path because it's not that important to me in reference to the ready versus the non-ready. You see, so that's, it's just for the person that can hear what we have to say in reference to the argot of the path. We teach the information, the teaching, the science part, the path, or the way, are the four definitions of Akasha. And again, I emphasize it's not a religion. We do talk about God, but that doesn't mean that anyone has an exclusive on the Supreme Deity. Why does religion have the only say-so in reference to God? So as soon as you talk about God, there, people will conclude it's religion. I don't know how that equates to that. See, that's always a curious item of a of the non-ready souls, in one sense of the word. And that would be an argument. But see, again, we're not, the person that has the ears to hear and the eyes to see is not in a state of argumentation. They're in a state of agreeability. They will agree because it's the truth and they can hear it. But to other people, it's not the truth, and that's when they're in a non-ready soul. So it's not important from that sense of the word. The responsibility of the living Sroshi Master, again, is to present it to the ready souls in any area of a population or a condensed population, and then there's still that percentage of people. And people say, well, why is it only for the 1%? Well, it wasn't made that way. The lower worlds were made of millions and millions of souls, and only a special few can get to the Godhead in a particular lifetime. So that's kind of new stuff this week, too. So we're bringing out that wisdom from the Akshar, and we take that drop of the ocean of love and mercy and articulate it into wisdom. I always find that's rather interesting, don't you, Leslie?
Yeah, absolutely, because that's part of being on this path. When one is doing their contemplation exercises, which we really should go into, explain what those are about.
Oh, yes, probably should take them to a huge chant, too. So go ahead.
Yeah, but let me just mention briefly, because those are highly recommended for one to do daily, and it's really our contacting spirits, which is seen as light, and spirit, which is seen as light and heard as sound, the Sarosha, and being a channel for that spirit, and doing a contemplation exercise for 30 minutes a day covers you from one 24-hour period to the next. What I mean by cover, it helps balance you. It's a protection that comes from spirit because you're opening yourself up as a channel. So when we do this, it looks like a person's meditating, but the interactions of it are a little bit different than meditation. So we're sitting quietly someplace and taking a couple of deep breaths and then putting our attention on what's called the Tizzer Till. You can also use the crown chakra. And we put our attention there. And what we're going to do is chant the word Hu. And Hu is a very ancient name for God. It comes both simultaneously from both the 10th and the 12th planes. And Srikant, if you can explain the interaction action for you when we're done with just a brief example of what the contemplation is like. So that word hue is so powerful that it will absolutely obliterate any kind of negativity in your area, whether it's an inner and an outer expression of the negativity that's coming towards you. It does take it out of your arena. So we're going to close our eyes, take a couple of deep breaths, feet flat on the floor or sitting cross-legged Indian style if you prefer, whatever's more comfortable. And then we're going to chant you, and it goes like this. And please join along if you would like to. You. Which means may the blessings be. So it It's a very uplifting experience, and you might have different types of experiences. You might hear the sound current come in, and it can be heard as different sounds, and often it sort of has a high electrical pitch, but there are different sounds on the inner planes, which helps you understand what plane you might be traveling on. And saying that, you might also have a sahaji experience, an outer body experience. So you can travel on many of the inner planes. You can attend satsang classes with other members of ACTA. There are many different types of experiences you can have, but more than likely you'll hear the sound current coming very strongly during this period. You might see a light, a white light, a yellow light, or the blue light of the master as well. And that's the inner light of Sri Kadavji, which means he's standing by your side, ready to aid you as you wish. And so that's the just a little short excerpt of what a spiritual exercise, a contemplation exercise is. And it is highly recommended to do that once a day for 30 minutes. You can do it longer if you like, but 30 minutes is really the recommended time at least to do that. And I did want to mention that if you haven't looked at our website, please take a look at our website, ACTA.com, and you can download books for free, such as the introductory book. There are audios of Sri Kadavji, and as Sri Kadavji mentioned, we don't charge for anything. We don't accept donations either. And for anyone who has been listening for a while and thinks they might be ready to take that step to become a member, there's an application online that you can download, and moving forward with your spiritual unfoldment by doing that. Sri Kadavji, you've got about 3 minutes left. Is there any particular point you wanted to bring up at this time?
Yes, the emphasis you had mentioned earlier about the daily contemplation, which is highly recommended. It's not a mandate per se, but it's important because that's how one learns to liberate themselves on the inner planes to the self-realization point and the other two goals of God-realization and Sarosha mastery. Therefore, this daily contemplation is a practice that we recommend. That would probably be the only practice that's recommended on the path. So essentially, the teaching is about a daily contemplation so that one can gain liberation in spirit at the fifth plane. In other words, negotiating through those four lower planes we had explained early on, the physical, astral, causal, and mental planes. In other words, they are vast regions that one's caught in for a long, long time, many, many lifetimes, maybe up to a million at this point in one's lifetime. So you can see it can be pretty much a horrendous cyclical occurrence that can be very destructive for a long time and painful. In other words, coming to the path, when people have been miserable or having struggled through many lifetimes of suffering, sometimes, well, it's always a relief getting to the path. It's not a guarantee that one will stay with it because it's difficult in the lower world. So people come and go. We safely admit that. But if people will do their daily contemplations, they'll gain some stamina to stay with it. When you don't do the contemplations, on the path, the negative force, we want to mention the counter engine, is the lord of those four planes. There's a very real God there. It's the God of the biblical God, the He God, which we call the counter engine, so the demon. And to get around that, we use the Hue chant that we did in the contemplation. So the Hue can be a protection, a piece of armor, if you will, that if you're being attacked negatively, you can use the Hue. The Hue is a universal mantra. Anybody can use the Hue, and it can protect them. So again,
yes,
the path is... Yes, okay, we're down to the last minute.
I apologize. Yeah, we're down to the last few seconds. Please go to our website for more information and to download the introductory book to get get some of the basic fundamentals of the teaching if you'd like to do that. I thank everyone for being here with us this evening. Especially I would like to thank Sri Kadavji for being with us and imparting the wisdom. Sri Kadavji?
My hand, right hand raised, palm straight out. May the blessings be Barak Bashad.